This is the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com, where we are breaking down District 5 and 6 activities in athletics week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. My name is Brandon Bainey, and we are joined by our East Idaho expert, Sean Kane. What's up, Sean?
Hey, you know, I'm great. Oh, he's trying to touch me. This is weird.
Yeah, as my camera was like a little off kilter. I was just trying to fix it real quick before
we. You know, I'm looking at myself as we do this with the program we have, and I can see the bags underneath my eyes with the lighting, and it's that's the story of spring sports, and every spring sport coach will tell you it's short, but there's always a lot, and there's rescheduling and all kinds of things going on, and it's just like kind of like nothing, everything, boom. And you're just kind of trying to reach the end of that lap with whatever you got left. And that's kind of how I feel right now.
Spring sports in terms of the schedule can be summed up by two words uttered by our former and maybe future president. We'll see. Total disaster.
And, you know, I don't want to complain because like right now I've played as many matches that as I played all of last year at the, you know, so with that being said, I think it's, you know, it snowed this morning here in Pocatello. I'm located in Pocatello, Idaho. It was flurrying a little snow. You know, we practiced and then I was coming home today. It was snowing a little bit. So, you know, it's interesting, but, you know, everyone's out practicing and competing and, you know, a good title for this podcast might be layers. Let's dress some layers, guys, because that's what we do. I have like 4 winter coats in my car, gloves. I have a pair of shorts in there. One day I'll wear them, but I've got a lot of sweatpants action going on. Joggers, they're kind of in right now, Brandon. I don't know if I've ever seen you in any joggers, but, you know, maybe one day.
Yeah, nope, only from the top up. Here on the Prepcast. Okay, well, of course, Sean is the head tennis coach at Century High School in Pocatello, and we will talk tennis in a little bit. But let's start today's. We're going to be a little more on the ball. Last week we got way off course, so we're back focused in here for the stretch drive of the spring sports season. Let's start on the softball diamond. I thought it would be fun to maybe give some love and attention to a couple of teams that haven't gotten much of it this year and have kind of flown under the radar. I wanted to start in softball at the 4A level, the team that is currently tied for first in the High Country Conference up there in District 6. It's the Idaho Falls Tigers. They're 5-1 in the conference. Sean, they're 9-5 overall. They just played Pocatello over the weekend, the defending 4A runner-up, and they did get swept, but they were competitive in the first loss, 6-4, and then they kind of ran out of gas and lost 12-2 in the other one. But this is an Idaho Falls team that's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, you know, I don't know where they were in the preview, but man, Idaho Falls is doing great. And again, you know, we're going to talk about a District 6. What's going to happen there? It always seems to be a battle. There's never really a clear victor, but right now Idaho Falls kind of leading the charge. We kind of talked a lot about Hillcrest at the start of the year. You know, Hillcrest does still have an impressive record at 14-5, but Idaho Falls making some moves, and you've got it. If you're Idaho Falls and you played Pocatello the way Pocatello's been playing, in that first game, 4-6, you've got to know that you've got what it takes to compete with some of the best teams in the state.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, coming up, they have already beaten Hillcrest a couple of times. They still have Blackfoot coming up. That'll be the big series at the end of the year, right? We like Blackfoot a lot in this league.
Yeah. You've got Blackfoot. They beat Skyline once. They have Skyline today, actually. Okay, so that second game against Skyline's happening. They beat Skyline 9-4 in the first one, 2 games against Blackfoot, Bonneville, and then kind of a interesting matchup with Madison at the end to wrap out the season.
Yeah, so who's leading the charge for this Tigers team? And by the way, Matty Rigby is doing a phenomenal job with this program. She took over, I'm trying to think, was it last year or the year prior? She hasn't been there super long yet, but Maddie Rigby has been doing a really nice job with this Idaho Falls program. They have four regulars, Sean, that are all batting 450 or better, actually 430 or better. When you look, the leader in batting average is junior Brinley Rydell at 479. And then you've got sophomore Shea Salem at 458, senior Kate Rodell at 452, and then another senior Rachel Hafer at 438. So four regulars batting 430 or better. Rydell also has two home runs, a triple, and six doubles. It's pretty good production from the junior.
Yeah, and hits the mound sometimes too. So, I mean, you've just got, when you got that amount of people batting well, it makes anything possible, right, in a game. And that's what Idaho Falls is doing with the bats and doing a good job with it. And I like, they have a good mix of like class on their team too. They have a lot of they have some sophomores, they have some juniors, some seniors. They've got a good mix, and that's always a good sign, right? You're not relying on maybe a senior or whatever it is. I like having that mix of classmen, especially for now and going forward, because you got experience and you got some young guns in there doing some things.
Yeah, their top pitcher is just a sophomore, Alyssa Smith. She's thrown 52 and two-thirds innings this year, Sean, to the tune of a 199 ERA, 2-0 record inside the circle, and 67 strikeouts to just 16 walks. She's walked more batters than she's given up runs, which is somewhat uncommon. She's given up 15 runs, only 16 walks. That's crazy.
Yeah, you're going to feel confident with her in the mound, because the walks in softball become pretty big, right? If someone gets a walk and then that next batter's a big hitter, that's how a lot of runs are scored. And if you're not able to give up easy walks, man, you're in the driver's seat.
Yeah. So it's been a fun season so far for Idaho Falls. Really, they've cleared one of the big hurdles, and that was Hillcrest. They got them early on in April, a pair of one run wins, 3-2 and 11-10. And then the next big hurdle comes, I think, against Blackfoot next week. They'll play. So I like how they do this. They play basically on consecutive days, right? And one night they'll play at Blackfoot, and then the next night they'll play at Idaho Falls, right? So next Tuesday they're at IF, next Wednesday they're at Blackfoot, and that could decide the conference title right there.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. That sounds like a hard coaching ask, doing the games like that. Just me as a coach thinking, like, man, you really you have to give the coaches credit. Obviously they know the schedule, but to kind of plan for two games like that, that takes a lot. So I think that's good on the coaches. You got to kind of give a big shout out to the coaches to manage the games that way, when you know you're playing your conference twice in a row on two different days, and how you're going to, do the pitching and do the lineup. So I think that's pretty interesting.
I think in softball, it allows you to throw your best pitcher again. I mean, if you're doing a doubleheader, some leagues in 4A do doubleheaders, and that's fine. Yep. And sometimes the same pitcher can throw both games. And certainly when you get to state, your arm's built up enough to do that. But I don't know. I think it gives everybody a chance to reset, and you're throwing your best pitcher again the next day as well. But we'll see. Blackfoot and Idaho Falls currently both tied 4-1 in league play. And Idaho Falls now has moved to 5-1 with that win over Skyline tonight. We might get some scores that are happening tonight, Wednesday, April 17th, in real time, Sean, as we record this.
Yeah, some live scores would be great. And yeah, and Blackfoot's got a familiar name playing softball, Marley Piper. She's been doing a phenomenal job she's been filling up the stats on the softball field, and we know her obviously from earlier this year as a great standout basketball player for the Broncos.
And Blackfoot fans, correct me if I'm wrong, but I put in all the rosters on the website. I don't remember ever putting Marley Piper in on the Blackfoot softball roster until this year, which I think is great, right? Coming out for your senior season, hired gun, as it were. And somebody let me know in the comments if I'm wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure if it's not the first year she's played in high school, maybe it's the first year since she was an underclassman. So yeah. Yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, we know in East Idaho she's an athlete, so it's not a big surprise. But if she just came out now, that's a cool story.
Yep, for sure. The other softball team I wanted to highlight is in St. Anthony at the 3A level, the Mountain Rivers Conference, the South Fremont Cougars. So we really hyped up Sugar Salem. It was either last week or 2 weeks ago, Sean. And then the Diggers got into conference play. They lost 2 out of 3 to Teton. And so then I'm thinking, all right, well, okay, Teton's maybe the team to beat. And despite a tough non-conference schedule and a less than stellar record, you know, maybe they're going to seize this thing. Well, then South Fremont beats Teton last night. And so I don't know what to make of this, except I know that historically the last couple of years, South Fremont has been an exceptional program. They've gotten to state the last couple of years. And so I thought it would be good to check in on the Cougars. Boy, if you didn't like the way the 4A High Country Conference does it, where they play, you know, two single games on back-to-back days, you really would not like what these guys do, because there's only three teams. They play three times, and it's all within, like, the same week. So, for example, South Fremont played Teton yesterday and won 15-5. They will then play Thursday and Friday as well. So they were at Teton Tuesday, home versus Teton Thursday, back at Teton on Friday. What do you think of that schedule?
I guess when you only have three teams, it kind of makes sense, right? You're kind of getting it all done in a nice short burst, but you also have the other, you know, they had a lot of games before, but it's definitely interesting. It'll be interesting to see what the results are, but I kind of like it because it's like a series. It's like a little three-game series. So like, how are you going to come out of the series against your conference opponent? And you've got that twice. It gives you kind of more of a tournament feel.
And that is what they do for the district tournament. It is the 2 and the 3 play each other in a best of three series. Winner of that then plays the number one in a best of three series. So the district tournament kind of mirrors what happens in the regular season. I talked about with Idaho Falls, they had 4 players batting 430 or better. Well, South Fremont's got 4 players batting 530 or better, if you can believe it. Senior Casey Folsom is almost batting 600. She's hitting 596 on the season with 19 RBIs, tied for 2nd on the team. And then it's sophomore Leah Lehman batting 548. Another sophomore. It's a trio of sophomores after that. Leah Lehman at 548. It is Charlie Stoddard at 543. And then Holland Hathaway at 533. So 3 sophomores and a senior kind of leading the way at the dish.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, you know, pretty similar to when I played adult league softball, my batting average. But, you know, no, but that's great. And they're young. Like, you look at this roster, it's a young team. I'm only seeing 3 seniors on this roster. So, man, they're, you know, if they don't come out of districts this year, watch out next year. They've got to be at the top of the list.
Now, the one bugaboo that South Fremont does have is on the pitching side. They are scoring just over 11 runs per game, but they're allowing almost 9 runs per game as a pitching staff. And when you look at some of the other teams around the state that are going to be in contention for a state championship, you know, that number is going to have to come down a little bit for Coach Chris Hammond's team here over the next couple of weeks. But way to go, South Fremont, and we'll keep an eye on it. They will play, like we said, Teton to finish out this week, and then Sugar Salem next week.
Yeah, it'll be good. Maybe they're just kind of doing a money ball. Like, they know if they get so many runs, then maybe they've got the numbers down up there in South Fremont. Maybe that's what they're doing. But yeah, you know, pitching and defensive wise, you know, to be real competitive to make a state run, that's got to come down at some point as the season goes on.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's check in on a couple of baseball teams and check their temperature. We kind of mentioned Firth just briefly last week, but I kind of wanted to dive in. The Cougars are 3-0 in nuclear conference play on the baseball side of things. That is tied for first right now with the River Cats from Chalice Mackey. We've talked about them a lot this year, and maybe next week or down the pike when they actually play Firth, we'll talk about the River Cats again, but we wanted to give some love to Firth on the show this week. They just beat Salmon yesterday to sweep the season series with the Savages. Salmon had started hot and they've kind of fallen off since. This is a Firth team that is now 11-6 overall, playing a fairly difficult schedule, Sean. I mean, they've played Declo, which was a state tournament team last year. Marcin, which was a state semifinalist. Coal Valley Christian, the number one team in the coaches poll. And then they played Malad and beat Malad 12-0. When does that ever happen? They played Malad in one. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you probably don't see Malad with a zero on their side very often, but that's a big win. And they had two semi-close losses to Snake River too. The first time 7-10, and then the second time 1-6. And I mean, yeah, you kind of look at the schedule, and they've got a kind of a tough schedule, kind of challenge themselves, and it seems to be paying off because, you know, right now 3-0 in a conference.
If I just told you to guess a last name of, you know, DNA and fingerprints all over this team at Firth, you got a guess for me? Prominent name, big family up there. I'll help you out.
Vasquez. I was going to say, was it football related? I was going to go Cage Vasquez if you were going to let me answer, but.
Yeah, sorry, I cut you off there. So Gage Vasquez is gone. He graduated finally. But Rigo Vasquez, the head football coach for Firth, is also the head baseball coach as well. So Rigo Vasquez is coaching them up. Their top hitter is actually freshman Grant Vasquez. He's batting .426 with 22 runs scored at the top of the lineup. He's also hit in 8 runs. And then it's junior Daryl Vasquez. And I can't remember. I had a Firth football coach explain to me this fall how they are all related. There's a pair of brothers and then they're cousins to some. Okay. I can't remember what it is. Firth fans, let me know how the Vasquez family tree looks. But there's Vasquez's all over the place. And then you know, add guys like Stockton Perry and Michael Adams and Lovelace. And you can see why Firth is just going along steady Eddie. Yeah. They are a preeminent baseball team in East Idaho.
Yeah. You see a lot of the same names from football too on this Firth team. And yeah, they're just doing well. 3-0 in conference, 11-6 overall. That's a good overall ranking right now, I can tell you. And it'll be interesting to see how this end of their schedule kind of pans out. I think is will be really exciting to see.
Daryl Vasquez and Stockton Perry are kind of the 1-2 on the mound. Vasquez in particular is 5-2 with a 2.14 ERA. Nice and tidy. Perry had a 5.64 ERA. If that comes down even just another run and a half, I mean, that's a good number two to take into the 2A state baseball tournament. So we'll see. We mentioned Firth on the schedule coming up here, Sean. They're going to play North Fremont twice still. They have to play Malad in Malad this Friday in a non-conference game. I'm sure the Dragons will be very motivated to get a little payback. And then at the very end of the season, April 25th and then May 1st, they'll play Chalice Mackey in a couple of games that'll probably decide the regular season district title.
Yeah, good scheduling there. They had some foreshadowing. But yeah, those will be fun games and just some great places for baseball to happen. Cool places in East Idaho, where Chalice Mackey plays, also Firth, just some really cool baseball fields.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's finish up our baseball tour with a stop all the way down in Preston. You can't get any further south in East Idaho. Well, I mean, you can get a little further south to Bear Lake, but that's pretty much it. So Preston is 2-1 in District 5 play at the Class 4A level, the Southeast Idaho Conference. They took 2 of 3 from Century in their conference season opening series. This is a league where you play everybody 3 times, so Preston still has to play Pokey coming up, right? But the Indians, the defending state champs, are just 8-8, and we've talked about them a lot this year. But I wanted to focus in on Preston because they're 5-6 overall, but right now for the moment in the driver's seat at 2-1 in the conference.
Yeah, you know, they've been playing a good baseball, and you know, they had big wins over, we were just talking, Bear Lake, right? They're partners in the South. They beat them 16-5 and 23-10. And then they've got Canyon Ridge, and then Before they play Pocatello's, you've got Sugar Salem lurking in this schedule. So that will be a great test for this Preston Indians team. Sugar, obviously a predominant, you know, state going a baseball team. So, you know, we'll see how they do against Sugar. And then, you know, the conference will be basically decided, I think, here, you know, against Pocatello at the end of the season.
Yeah, when you look at this Preston team, they're a team that's still trying to figure it out, I think. You know, on the pitching side, they have four pitchers that have thrown 12 or more innings. I mean, the top innings thrower right now is sophomore Connor Thompson, 19 and two-thirds. That's followed by Austin Gleed at 18 and a third, Cade Oxborough at 14 and a third, and then Eli Hammonds at 12. So it's unusual to see this deep into the season four pitchers with very almost similar pitching inning totals. The best pitcher in terms of statistics, you know, probably Connor Thompson, a 3.92 ERA, but also Oxborough at 2.44. That's a name that's been there for like 9 years now, because there was Chase Oxborough, and now it's the younger brother, Cade Oxborough. He's just a junior, but those two have kind of been the main drivers of this Preston program the last several years.
Now, is Connor Thompson the son of head coach Sean Thompson?
I got to assume so. Okay. I don't know that for sure, though. Dan Hubbard, maybe from KACH Radio in Preston, could let us know. But
yeah. All right. But well,
it's a fun team. Now, Thompson is the leading hitter at the plate as well. A 5.88 average, two triples, seven doubles, nine RBIs. He's scored 15 runs on the season as well. And Gleed is not far behind him, a 5.28 average with 15 runs scored also. So unlike some of the other teams in Class 4A where you can point and go, yeah, you know, this trio right here is really star-studded. It really is a team effort here from Preston. It's been pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, and you know, and sometimes that's all it takes. You know, you just get guys willing to do something. You know, this guy's going to do this day, and so-and-so will do this day. And when you don't have to rely on one person or two people, it really opened things up, and that's what Preston's done on the season, is relied on their team, and it's got them on going in the right direction.
Yeah. In that three game series over Century last week, Thompson and Oxborough pitched in game one, which was a victory. Then in game two, which was a 10-7 setback, it was Gleed who started on the mound, pitched pretty well. And then in the third game, Preston won 6-3, and on the mound, they turned to Eli Hammonds, and he went the distance and threw the complete game victory. So this is a league, Sean, where they do kind of the similar thing, where one day it's a single game, like in Preston, and then the next day it's a doubleheader at Century. So you play three games in 2 days, really kind of cram it in there. That, to me, is really simulates a state tournament, right? It's basically at state, three games in 3 days. You have to use three different pitchers, and this kind of is a similar setup in this conference.
Yeah, with you can only throw so many pitches, right? The pitching count. So you're really getting a good preview of what your team can do, right? In 3 days or three games, you're getting that look, because you're not going to be able to use, you know, like softball, they can have another person pitch, but in baseball, you've got to be deep when it becomes a 3 day tournament.
Yeah. So we'll see how Preston does against Pokey, and keep up the good work, Indians. It was kind of fun to just check in and give them a little love and attention here on the PrepCast as well. All right, Sean, let's go to tennis, the sport that's near and dear to your heart, the Gate City Invitational coming up this weekend, but in a little bit of a different venue. Why don't you explain what's going on?
Well, you know, it's not going to happen in the Gate City, Brandon. It's going to be the Gate City invite at Madison this year, because right now the city of Pocatello, and we just don't have enough tennis courts to host the tournament. It's going to be an 8-team tournament. We've got Madison, Pocatello, Rigby, Century, Skyline, Thunder Ridge, Highland, and Idaho Falls. So a really good slice of what we got to offer here in East Idaho as far as tennis wise. But unfortunately not able to hold it here. And I used to not be able to go to this tournament. This tournament used to happen the same time as the Capital Invite, which is the following weekend in Boise. And because they would hold this tournament in lieu of like teams that weren't able to go to Capital Invite, because they don't take every team. But then with COVID or whatever, times shifted. And now this happens on a different weekend, but it was just 2 weeks ago. They said, oh, we can't have it here. We're going to have it in Madison, but no one really knew what was going on, but they've got it all worked out and we're heading up there Friday, and it should be a really good tournament with some big time players there.
Was that a flex you just did there? That was like the most humble brag thing I ever heard.
What was the humble brag?
I never used to be able to compete at the Gate City Invite because it always took place at the same time as the Capital Classic, the premier event, and my century teams were always so good. I was getting invited to that instead. No, I'm just giving you a hard time, though.
At one time, I think there was 36 teams at Capital, and now I think it's 32. COVID really changed the landscape of how that tournament has went on. And of course, we've talked about him on the show before. Tom Campbell, the great coach from Capital, started it, and then someone else took over. And then this year, it's another new person. Not every school chooses to go. There's a waiting list that really has nothing to do with being good or bad. It's just about, you know, they're going to always have so many Boise teams in it, right? Like, you kind of have to let the Boise teams go, and then there's only so many other spots, and it's some teams decide not to go, some don't. So it's not really a brag, but thanks, Brandon. It's more of a coaching philosophy. Like, for me, it's like, I want the hardest, most competitive matches we can get, win or lose. Maybe we're not competitive. Maybe we are some years. It's just how it goes. But if we get to go to that and play all the teams, maybe we might see it state or at least see them. It's such a huge growing point for the team. And so we've had a couple of years since COVID. So a lot of kids haven't been, or only a few have, and they used to know, but once they start getting back into that familiarity of going to a tournament and kind of previewing what it's like before state, it's such a great thing for kids, like to go hang out with your buddies and play tennis for 9 hours in the day. Like, there's so many more beneficial things than the tennis, but it's been great. But back to what I was trying to talk about.
Yes. Gate City Invite at Madison.
And I mentioned the teams, and there's going to be, we've got, I'll start with boys singles. We've got a few people that are ranked in the state that are going to be participating. And again, it's the tennis reporting ranking, so it's not exactly how good they are, but you've got like Braden Johnson from Highland. He took fourth last year in 5A. He'll be there. He's definitely in contention of being a state champion in the 5A level this year. You have Sterling Russell of Rigby. He's ranked 11th. Max Shang from Century. He's ranked 8th. To name a few people, David Hansen from Madison is also a good player. Number one boys singles. So all the divisions play their own little tournament. So all the one singles play a tournament, all the twos, all the threes and everything. So you just only play against ones. So that'll be really good. On the girls side, you've got some really good players. You've got Addie Westwood from Idaho Falls. She's ranked 19th. You've got number 15 ranked Shay Shippen. You may have heard of her. She comes from Skyline. She's been playing singles. You have Belle Miller, who's ranked number 6 from Century. Some just really good competitors in the singles alone, just right there. And then the doubles will be really good. You've got the Madison. This is really interesting. Like Century, Liam McGee, Daniel McGee beat Madison's Austin Lamb and Michael Ware. And then Highlands, Andrew Dixon and Casey Carter beat Liam McGee and Daniel McGee. And then last night, Andrew Dixon and Casey Carter of Highland beat the Madison team. So you've got teams that have beaten all each other. The Thunder Ridge team will be there too. And Century beats Thunder Ridge, but Thunder Ridge beat Highland. So all these teams have went back and forth. So that boys doubles is just going to be really fun, and there won't be a bad match, but it's a great tournament. Ron Osborne of Highland is usually the one putting on, with a little assistance from me, but he gets all the credit for putting this on and does a good job. So he's still kind of putting it on. The courts we're just using are in Madison. We're going to use Madison and then the old high school, and then the courts in Rigby to get the tournament done.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a great time, and hopefully we can get the courts back in Pocatello back up and running so we can get this thing back to Pocatello next year. But for now, a journey to Rexburg, which a lot of people have taken over the years. So, yeah.
I mean, yeah, we went to Madison this year, and we're gonna stay the night Friday night because I don't like getting up early. But I've never spent the night in Rexburg, so it'll be a whole new experience for me.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun for sure. So, okay, let's wrap up with some track and field. The Golden Baton Relays were hosted by Highland this past week, Sean. I think it was last Friday. Highland swept the team titles. The boys and girls both won for the Rams. It's always nice to see.
Yeah, you host the tournament. It's pretty cool to win it. Yeah, and it was actually a nice, well, a fairly nice day. And the Highland men won. You know, the boys won 89.5 points. The Highland girls won by a big margin, 103. The next closest team was Century at 67. But yeah, good job by Highland to get wins there. And their track team is just doing phenomenal, Highland, and they always have great runners and discus and everything. And they're really trying to get pole vaulting going here. A lot of the pole vaulting's happening at Highland, and some of the other schools there go to Highland too to get the practice. So I know pole vaulting, I know it wasn't at this, but just to kind of throw it in there, give Highland some cred of really trying to promote all the different events and track.
Yep, for sure. Individual winners from East Idaho on the girls' side, Matea Mangum of Century wins the 100. Tambry Bell of Highland wins the 400. Neela Roberts of Skyline wins the 1600. You had in the 4x1 throwers relay, the Teton girls won the throwers relay.
Oh, yeah, that's always a fun one, right?
Yeah, that's a good time. Highland won the 4x800 relay. You had Sydney Freeman of Rockland, a 1A girl, wins the shot put. She beat Reagan Trollson from Century to win the shot put title. Jordan Kern from American Falls won the discus. She's going to be great at state this year. Lydia Townsend of Marsh Valley won the pole vault. You had Gracie Anderson of Highland win the triple jump as well. Those were the reported finals for girls events. I'm trying to see if there were any more. Pocatello won the co-ed relay, and they had a bunch of relays. Obviously it's the Golden Baton Relays.
I think like we need an East Idaho relay with like Neil Roberts, Matea Mangum, Bell. I think that would be a pretty, like, can we get an East Idaho versus like the best? That'd be a
good fun.
Like get all our best runners against, you know,
Treasure Valley.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. That'd be fun. That'd be fun to figure out who would run that. Boys winners, individual, Corbridge Bastion of Marsh Valley won the 100. You had Spencer Van Orden from Highland won the 300 hurdles. No surprise there. Marsh Valley won the 4x1. Grace won the 4x1 throwers relay. So you had a 1A win in there. Marsh Valley took the 4x2 relay as well. Skyline won the 4x800 relay. And then you get to like some of the field events. Bryant Kelly from Highland won the shot put. You had Robert Reed from Pocatello win the discus. Actually, Pokey went 1-2. Robert Reed and Trey Martinez. South Fremont's Noah Tanner wins the high jump. He cleared 6'6", which is awesome. Crew Searle of Skyline and Benson Versey of Shelley both cleared 12 feet in the pole vault, but Searle got the win on criteria. And then Noah Tanner of South Fremont doubles up with a victory in the long jump as well. So that's pretty good from East Idaho showing up and showing out there at the Highland Golden Baton Relays.
Yeah, you got a good like slice of the pie, right? You got some of the smaller school. I mean, like it's a good mix. I like all the schools. And then really, what was the only like out of East Idaho team was what? Canyon Ridge? Oh, Jerome.
And Twin Falls was there. Star Valley came over from Wyoming. Yeah, there was a couple, but
not a ton, but that's a cool slice to showcase all the East Idaho any classification. So very cool. Nice job by Highland to put on those golden baton relays.
Yes, and speaking of track and field, this Friday, Rockland High School is hosting the DirectCom invite at Idaho State University's Davis Field. That's right. They're going to go to the college facility. It's a beautiful facility there at ISU. It hosted the Big Sky Conference Championships just 2 years ago, and we will be broadcasting the meet on idahosports.com for the third year in a row. There are 32 teams coming to this track meet, Sean, a lot from East Idaho: Aberdeen, American Falls, Bear Lake, Blackfoot, Butte County, Century, Challis, Firth, Grace, Mackey, Malad, Marsh Valley, North Fremont, Pocatello, Ryrie, Rockland. Showband's going to be there. Snake River, Soda Springs, Sugar Salem, Teton, Thunder Ridge, and Water Springs and Westside. All going to be there from East Idaho. There's a couple of teams coming from the Magic Valley. Kellogg is coming from the north, apparently. And wow, there's a couple of teams coming from the Treasure Valley as well. Nampa Christian and New Plymouth. So this will be a fun meet.
Yeah, it'll be fun. What you'll have to report back to me is who has the best like wind shelter tent. Because I've noticed this at track meets. Everyone's got like these big tents, you know, for their teams. I need like who's got the best. I feel like that's a subject we've not deep dived into. But when you go to these track meets, they got like some of them have like clear viewing things. I mean, one might add a barbecue in it, I don't know, but it was really interesting.
that's always a shot we'll do kind of in between the action. We'll kind of pan across and get all of the tents because they're all just in a row, you know, there at the meet. So that's right. Lance Taylor is going to be on the mic for idahosports.com for the DirectCom invite. Paul Kingsbury and Logan Green will be there as well, but it starts at 10 a.m. on Friday from Davis Field at Idaho State University, all live on idahosports.com. So if you're just, honestly, if you're looking to just kind of mail it in on a Friday and looking for something fun to do to kill some time while you're at work, we got you covered with the DirectCom invite. It'll be going all day Friday on idahosports.com.
Yeah, that'll be great. I like how everyone's coming down to Pocatello when I'm not going to be here. I've distinctly noticed that, but
yep,
whatever.
We planned the DirectCom invite around this year.
Whatever. Right. No, it'll be great. You know, track doesn't always get like the fanfare TV recognition. And so for Idaho Sports to come and just kind of give everyone that little fanfare and get track going, I think it's propelled track. It's given track a little more thing. Like, look at wrestling, right? You know, wrestling is just blowing up and we're, you know, getting the fanfare, and track is right on the verge there too. We've got some great East Idaho athletes and, you know, great athletes across the state. I don't want to talk about the other ones, but we do. And I'm glad Idaho Sports can showcase them.
Yep, it's going to be a lot of fun. So again, this Friday, the DirectCom invite from Pocatello on idahosports.com starting at 10 a.m. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the East Idaho PrepCast, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the competitions this weekend. Travel safe to wherever you're going. Sean, good luck at the Gate City invite as well.
I'll take it. There's right. nothing like standing for 10 hours leaning against stuff. Someone asked me for a picture of me coaching with my face, and there's no pictures. It's just me leaning against something, you know, leaning against this. My face is never in the pictures, but and then no one wants to see my face anyways. I mean, yeah, but anyways, yeah, it'll be great. I'm just looking forward to get some of that kind of tournament atmosphere where you have to play multiple matches in a day, and it's great for East Idaho. And I like that it's close enough that we're hosting something local, and really tennis is probably going to hopefully move to more kind of tournaments, but we're always fighting that weather issue. So, but it'll be great. And it'll really showcase some of the great talent here in East Idaho.
Yeah. Tennis is kind of like golf where you kind of just got to let your guys and gals go, right? You can coach them by kind of yelling at them a little bit during the match, but it's really, hey, okay, here you go. Like,
well, in fact, that's funny you bring that up. For Capital this year, they just sent out something and they said on the first day, Friday, where it's a round robin kind of format, there's no coaching. So they really want it to go fast. So there's no coaching. So that'll be interesting. Yeah, but you know, you got to give credit to your players and, you know, and let them do their thing. I'm not big on micromanaging a match. That's what practice is for. You got to go out and play. And tennis is a sport you can't, you know, you've got to win. Like, the time's not going to run out. Someone else isn't going in for you. You've got to win it at the end of the day. It's really hard. Someone's not going to win it for you. And that's what you got to let the kids do. They got to go out and win the matches.
Yeah, that's what makes tennis such a fun sport for sure. And so a lot of good tennis going on in East Idaho this week and at Madison, Gate City Invite. So we'll have plenty to talk about on next week's show. That is for sure. So, all right,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's all we've got. I thought you were going to say something else. Wow. Well, nope. That's it. Yeah, I think we'll have plenty to talk to. Everyone enjoy all the great baseball and softball games and everything going on, and check out Davis Field because it's phenomenal. They've done just a great job over there with that field, and it'll be fun.
Yep. All right. Well, on that note, we are finishing with a whimper here. We'll take you out here. Thank you for tuning into the East Idaho Prepcast, everybody. For Sean Kane, I'm Brandon Bainey, and we will see you next week for another edition of the East Idaho Prepcast on idahosports.com.